You're listening to a Sunlife podcast. We pray you'll be blessed with the teaching of God's word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au.
Well, I get a chance to continue this series. This is the last Sunday on our current series, What's On Your Mind? Now, can I say that I've had some great conversations with people over the past few weeks. I've had someone ask me, or a few people ask me, Pastor, can we do this series again next year? And I'm like, what, you don't think I work hard enough? Like, you give me all these tough questions and you want me to work even harder? But you know what? The answer is yes. We're going to do this series again next year. And if you were encouraged with this series and you want to know some of the, I guess, the answer to the questions on your mind, then when we do this again next year, make sure you send through those tough questions, all right? I have been so encouraged because I've heard so many great conversations in your small groups, in your connect groups. People are just, you know, I guess debating and questioning the Word of God. I've had people who've come up to me and said, Pastor Bin, you know, I love what you're saying. You're on the right, I guess, page. You know, I agree with you. I love it. Keep it up. And I'm like, wow, thank you so much. You know, and then I've had people who've said, oh, you know what? I don't agree with you. I think you're wrong. You're not spot on. You should be reading this. And I love that as well too, because at the end of the day, we're going to have differences in how we read the Word of God, right? And it's okay to be part of a church where we can agree to disagree, amen? And it's iron sharpening iron, right? So certain things I've said where you're like, you know what? I totally agree with you. We're on the same page. Thank you so much for your words of encouragement. And for those who are like, I don't agree with you. I think that you're totally wrong. You've got this wrong. This is borderline heresy. That's okay as well too. Let's encourage one another. Let's study together. And it's a healthy community where we're not all yes people. Amen? That we're being challenged. And I reckon this morning's topic is one of those topics again where some of you are going to say, oh, Pastor Ben, I love it. I totally agree with you. You're the best. We're in the same wavelength. I love you. Thank you very much for those kind words. And then there are people like, I'm out of here. I don't want to be part of this church. I'm leaving. No, don't leave. Let's look at the Word of God. Let's grow together and see what it's all about. So hopefully by the end of this message, I'll still have a church, all right? Because this morning, one of the questions that you've asked me a few months ago was that, can a Christian lose their salvation? Can I lose my faith? All right? Like, you may know of someone, or maybe you today, you're saved today, and you're asking the question, I wonder what happens if I keep on sinning. Will I lose my faith? Or is there a limit to how many sins I can commit before God says, see you later? Or maybe I've committed a really bad sin and I happen to die during that sin. Am I saved? Or is there a sin, like the sin, the one that no one can forgive, not even God? If I commit that sin, will I lose my faith? So there are all the questions that you have asked me, and I'm going to do my best to answer those questions. You may know of someone that you care for, you love, who may have been in church years ago and they're no longer around. And you're like, are they saved? Has God let them go, or have they let God go? So I'm going to do my best to answer those questions. I need you to lean in and listen carefully, and then we're going to have a wonderful baptism ceremony afterwards, okay? Are you right with that? Are we still friends? Okay. I'm going to answer those questions with four W's. Okay, four W's. Who is holding on to who? Second W, what about my reckless lifestyle? Thirdly, why did they leave the church? And fourthly, where do I go from here? I'll do my best to answer these four questions here, and then hopefully we'll walk away encouraged. All right, let me pray and we'll get to work. So God, I pray now that you help me to expound your word, to help me bring your word with clarity. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would begin to teach us. Help me to articulate your word in a way where people are so encouraged and so in love with you. And that's my job this morning, so I need your help. I need you to help me right now. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Who is holding on to who? The question here is a big question. Am I holding on to God? Am I holding on to my salvation, this eternal security, or is God holding on to me? Like, if I hold on to it, it may mean that there's a possibility I may let it go. And one way to help me not let anything go is to remind me daily that it's very precious. Is that right? Like, if I remind myself every day that this salvation, this God who loves me, if I hold on to Him and remind myself every day that He is so precious, there's a very good chance I may not let Him go. Do you agree? Just recently, Cameron, my son, he has this thing in school where it's show and tell, where you bring something in to show and tell your teacher and your classmates. And he asked me if he can show and tell this beanie that my mother bought for me back in the early 80s. It's this beautiful beanie that Mum bought for myself and my younger sister Tao. And I still have my beanie today. Ask my sister Tao where is her beanie, and she'll let you know. She's lost it. But I still have my beanie today, right? And then I tell Cameron, Cameron, you better look after this. It's very precious to Daddy, right? This means a lot to me. This is Grandma's gift to me, and every time I look at it, it reminds me of your late grandma. So please, Cameron, look after the beanie. It's precious. It's important. Don't lose it. And he goes, I get it, Dad. I get it, Dad. So he takes off the beanie to school for show and tell. And guess what? He didn't lose it. Praise God. That's a tick. You passed, son. Well done. So if eternal security, my salvation, is something I hold on to and I'm very careful, hopefully I can hold it to the very end. But there's a slight possibility I may lose it because we're all careless people. Is that right? But if I said to you, maybe it's not something I hold on to, but rather it's God holding on to me. Oh, if God is holding on to me, and if I was to lose my salvation, then another way of putting it is that maybe God has let me go. Would you agree? Because if God is holding on to me, and I've lost my salvation, then God really let go of me. I want to show you something in the Bible. If you have your Bible, turn with me to John chapter 10, verses 27 to 29. This is where Jesus would say to the people that He's the good, He's the great shepherd. And all the sheep, they know Him and He knows them. Look in verse 27 says this, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Now, I want to impress you with my Koine Greek, which is not really impressive, right? Because you can get this on Google, right? And I know there's some of you guys here who speak a bit of a Greek, so you're going to probably laugh at me. So don't laugh too loud, okay? Now, we don't see this in the English text, but this word never here in the Greek looks a bit like this. Okay? I'm going to try to pronounce it. Don't laugh. Umer epilontai. You like that? Where's some of my Greek people? Hope that's okay. I hope that's a pass. Umer epilontai. U means never or not. Mer also means not. Epilontai means destroy or perish. It's very strange that Jesus could have easily said, U epilontai, not perish. Or he could have said, me epilontai, not perish. But this is the only time where he says, u me epilontai. So if you were to translate that into the English, it will be not not or never never perish. In other words, those who I save will not not or never never perish. There is an emphasis here in the text here that he holds you and you would never be lost. Most scholars would agree that in this part of John 10, the emphasis is not on how wonderful is this eternal life. Because we can read this and we can say, wow, eternal life, that's the focus there. But most scholars would say that the emphasis here is not on the wonderful nature of eternal life, but rather on the powerful nature of God holding the believer. That's the emphasis right here. So if he's holding us, Jesus says, I will never, never, not, not allow them to perish. Look at it carefully again and you see something wonderful. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I'm going to do a demonstration right now. I'm going to ask Simon. Simon, come on stage. Andrew Dawson, come on stage. Quick. Come on. I picked two of the strongest guy in church. Panda, you were third, all right? Let's just say this little blue, this is very precious. This is like some kind of sapphire jewel or something really expensive, right? Okay, now let's just say, because you look more like Jesus than both of us, all right? Because Jesus wasn't he, like blonde guy with a beard, right? So if you were Jesus and you were to hold this in your hand like this, hold it tight, both hands, boom. Okay? And the Bible says that he's in my hand, Jesus, but also in who else's hand? The Father's hand. Let's say I'm the Father now. Simon, you want to snatch that out of us, go for it. So I picked Simon because he's strong. You can't tickle Simon. You can't tickle. You can't. See? You can't. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Simon, come on. See? You're giving up. Give them a round of applause. Okay. Thank you. You get my point. I don't know about you, but when I read this, listen carefully. When I read this here, clearly, Jesus is saying, first of all, no one that I save will perish. Secondly, I hold them. They don't hold me, but they are in my hand and also the hand of the Father. There's this double emphasis twice in the passage there where it is literally impossible for you to lose your salvation if you have a theology that God is the one holding you and not you holding God. Are you with me? And that's what the Bible says right here. That I believe as your pastor that if I am genuinely saved by God, Jesus will not let me go. Jesus holds me in his hand. The Father also holds me in his hand. And no one can snatch me out of their hands. I am kept safe to the very, very end. That's the word of God. That's not me. But I want to show you something else. Go with me a few chapters before that in chapter 6, John. Jesus says this, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him." That's the Father who sent me. "And this is the will of him." That's the Father who sent me. "That I shall lose none." There it is again. "That I shall lose none of those he has given me, but raise them up at the very last day." See, Jesus says that I come down to save those. And once I've saved them, I'm not going to lose them. I'm going to make sure that I'm going to raise them up at the very, very last day. This is the wonderful thing about the Christian God. That the gift of salvation, not only it's a gift, it's a free gift. You can't earn it. It's unconditional. Right? It's not based on good things you've done in the past or things you do in the future. It is unconditional. And not only that, God holds me. And the Word of God says that he would not let me go. I cannot lose my salvation. That once I am saved by God, he is going to keep me to the very end. That's the Word of God. That's not me. But then, we can all say this, woohoo, let's party. Let's now live a reckless life. Is that right? Let's just do whatever we want, because right now, Pastor Ben have just said that I can't lose my salvation. Well, let's think about that. Some of you now might say, well, that's it. Heck, I'm not coming to church ever again. That's it. I'm going to pull out of serving. I'm not going to be part of my connect group. I'm not going to give anymore. I'll call the bank this afternoon and say, just cancel my direct debit, because Pastor Ben just said, he said it today, that I can't lose my salvation. So you know what? I'm going to live a reckless life and just enjoy it, because at the end of the day, he's going to keep me safe. Can I say this? That if you did all those things, stop going to church, quit serving, leave your connect group, don't give, don't even pray, you're still saved. You're still saved. You're still kept to the very end. Here's the reason why. Because when God saved you, you were never good. When God rescued you, you were his enemy. You were dying in your sin. It was not based on what you did. Therefore, even if you did bad afterwards, it's not going to change his mind, because his mind was not influenced by your behavior. Does that make sense? So you can go and do whatever you want right now. I'll tell you right now that you are still saved. So for some of us, it's like, yippee, I can't believe he said that. I'm going to record that. I'm going to play that, because as of tonight, I'm going to party like Miley Cyrus, and I don't really care less. Go for it. Because you're still saved. Because your gift of salvation is not based on what you do, what you've done in the past, or what you do tomorrow. But listen carefully. Listen carefully. If you are truly born again with a genuine faith, I don't think you would think like that. If you are truly born again, I don't think you would want to live in a lifestyle full of sin. When you have this revelation that God would save you, when you don't deserve saving, I don't personally think that you will go off and live a reckless life. The Holy Spirit is in you. God is in you, and he's teaching you, and he's saying, I don't want that from you. That's not how you ought to live your life. There's something internally that will say, no, that's not who you are. Don't live like that. You used to live like that, but you're not living like that today. Because if you're truly born again, you would not want to live like that. There's something internally that changes you. Agree or disagree with me, but they say that we're very similar to our family members. Is that right? Like, you may hear the comment where someone might say, oh, you act just like your mother. Right? Or you talk or walk like your father. Right? Or you got that from your grandma. Is that right? Someone said to my boys just recently, my two boys, you guys are so handsome, so good looking, just like your father. And I totally agree with the boy, the person. All right? But isn't it true that those who are closest to us, all right, we find ourselves being like them? Whoever you hang around with, all right, will influence the person you are. If your parents are very generous, kind and loving people, there's a very good chance that you love those traits. You'll be generous and kind. And if the Bible would say that we are now adopted into God's family, that he is Father, he is our new master, sin is no longer our master, we are a new creation, the old has gone and the new is here, the Holy Spirit lives in us and he guides us and he helps us and he teaches us, and that we are transformed daily into the image of Jesus, surely there's transformation. That you don't want to love the things you once loved. You go, no, I don't want to love that anymore, because that's not me. And you know what? The thing that you once hated, like God, you find yourself loving. There's this transformation, because you find yourself so close to the Holy Spirit that he transformed you, and you don't want to live recklessly. Because if you are a Christian and you're still like, yes, I don't care, I'll sin and I'll sleep around and I'll lie and I'll cheat and who cares, because I'm going to heaven anyway, there's a very good chance that you have never met Jesus personally. And that's what I see right here. that when you genuinely love him, you don't want anything to do with sin. Look at your life, Christians. Look at your old self and your new self. There's a tension where you were like, I used to like doing that, but now I don't do it anymore. That's the Holy Spirit changing you, because now you belong to a new master. That's God the Father, and your old master, Satan, is no longer there. I want to show you something in Romans 6. Paul says this, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that the grace may increase? By no means. Absolutely not. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in sin any longer? You're changed. Genuine Christians don't like it when they sin. If you still like it when you sin, we need to have a chat. But when you sin and you go, oh my goodness, I don't like it. I've had some chats with people in this church where I am so thankful that you can be so honest to me. And you tell me your struggles and you tell it to me because you know you don't like it. And you go, Pastor, I don't like this. I know it's wrong and it's not me. That's great. Because the Spirit of God is saying, that's not who you are. Don't live in sin. Just because there's grace, it's not a license for us to sin. Does it mean that we'll never sin? Oh, you and I, we're always going to sin. We can't avoid it. We're not going to avoid it. And some Christians, listen carefully, in some cases, you are going to do some really serious things, some serious sin. That's just who you are. Don't agree to the teaching where they say that because you're a Christian now, you won't sin. That's bollocks. That's wrong. I still sin as your pastor. You're still going to sin. And let me say that sometimes your sin, it's going to be pretty serious. Remember that guy named Peter? One of the disciples that denied Jesus not once, but how many times? Three times. That's pretty serious. They're serious sins. I don't know about you, but when you deny God once, twice, three times, that's pretty bad. What about David, King David? Remember that guy, King David? Where he slept with Bathsheba, and then he goes, oh my goodness, now I've got to kill Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. I've got to find a way to kill this guy. So not only he's committed adultery, now murder. That's some pretty serious sin. So we are going to stumble. We're going to fall. But let me say this, that we will never fall out of God's love. You will fall, you will have some serious fall, but you'll never have that final fall where you're out of God's love. That's what I see in the Bible. In fact, I'm so confident that as a Christian, as your pastor, that nothing can separate me from the love of God. I can never fall out of God's love. Paul says this in Romans 8. He says this, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You can never ever outdo God's love. There's never a sin that God will say, see you later, I don't love you anymore because you've fallen away. No, 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 no. I feel that when you sin, when I sin, no matter how reckless it is, God still loves you and God still keeps you. But true born-again Christians will hate sin, that we don't want anything to do with sin. But then what about those who've sinned and are no longer here? Why did they leave the church? And this is very important for you to understand. Listen carefully. Because I know that there are some of you here, you have some close family, friends. I know that you love them, and you're probably asking, where are they today? Where are they? If we go back to my first section of the talk, if God is the one holding them, then I would say, God, he has not letting them go yet. Listen carefully. If God is the one holding them, he has not let them go on yet. There'll be times in life where we sin, and it's a long period of time. For some reason, it's just not short, but it's an extended period of time. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there was a guy who slept with his stepmother. We discussed this a few weeks ago. And pretty sick, eh? Like, you read 1 Corinthians 5, and in the church, there's a guy sleeping with his mother. That's in the Bible. That's so sick. So, the church got rid of him, excommunicated him. But what you may not know is that in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, he came back. When he came back, people weren't quite sure what to do, and Paul says, you've got to welcome him back. Because it was an extended period of time that we've asked him to leave. And we don't know how long that was, maybe a few months, a few years, we don't know. But it was a long period of time where this guy says, you know what, I don't care about the church, I know what I'm doing, it's right, I don't see it as being a sin. Or maybe he realized it was a sin sleeping with his mother, and he just goes, well, it's just too late, that's who I am. But he came back after a long period of time. I think sometimes there are Christians who fall, and it's a long period of time. Remember Peter? When he denied Jesus 3 times, can you imagine if you made an assessment of Peter at that bonfire, would you say that he is saved when he denied Jesus 3 times? You know, when he was at the bonfire keeping himself warm? I'm pretty sure if we made an assessment of Peter then, we would say, this guy's gone. This guy is not saved. This guy has lost his salvation. There's no eternal security for him. But what happened to Peter? He turned things around. He repented. And of course, he was back doing God's work. Listen carefully. You may know people who have fallen out of fellowship with God, but they're still in relationship with God. Let me explain what I mean by that. There are people who've fallen out of fellowship with God, but still in relationship with God. Now, Tran and I, we have fights. Oh, you're surprised, huh? You're very surprised, right? We have fights. It's always her fault. Anyhow, when we're fighting, right, and I can be honest with you because we want to be a real and raw church. When we fight, we're still sitting on the same dining table having dinner, but we ain't talking. Not talking. When we have fights, we're still sleeping on the same bed, but we ain't talking. Can you guys relate to that? Like, you may have a bit of an issue with someone in your family, the fellowship is broken, but you're still in a relationship with that person. Is that right? I mean, Tran is still my wife, and I'm still her Asian knight in a shining armor, right? You know? I'm still her husband, right? All right, we're still one. But sometimes what happens is that we fall out of fellowship because of a mistake or an offense or a sin, but we're still in a relationship. And for some Christians, listen carefully, they fall out of fellowship with God because of sin, but they're still in relationship with God because God is still their father. They're still God's child. Does that make sense? And I want you to know that because you may know of someone who's no longer at church and you come to the conclusion, that's it, they've lost the faith, they're going to hell. No, you don't know that. I don't know that. Maybe they've fallen out of fellowship, but they haven't fallen out of relationship. Does that make sense? Keep loving them. Keep praying for them. Please don't judge them. Don't come to the conclusion that, yep, they've lost their salvation. They're going to hell. They've let go of God, and God has let go of them. Don't think like that. Don't judge people. Salvation is not ours. It's God, and leave that with God. Who are we to judge people? Who are we to come to the conclusion that they're gone, they're lost forever? Because you and I don't know. It may be a long fall. They're out of fellowship, but they're still in relationship because God still got them. So you keep praying for them. You keep loving them. You keep encouraging them. And you never know. They may come back. They may do that U-turn like Peter did or King David. Is that clear? And that's how we should love these people. We don't draw the conclusion that they're gone, they've lost their salvation, they're going to hell. Because who are you and I to judge people? Are you with me? We are to love people. And we just say, God, you take control. What about Judas? Remember Judas in the Bible? There's a guy named Judas. He's one of the disciples, and he was the one that betrayed Jesus. He was one of the 12 disciples. Where is he? Did he lose his salvation? You hear that, right? Can I show you some verses, and then I'll make some comments. In John 17, while I was with them, this is Jesus, by the way, praying, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. He's praying to the Father. None has been lost except the one doomed. He's referring to Judas. Doomed to destruction so that the scripture would be fulfilled. He's praying for his disciples. He's praying for them except one. Look with me now in Mark 14:21. Woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born. Woe means shame, condemn. Like here, Jesus says, you're shameful, you're condemned. It was better that you were not born in the first place. You think about it. Jesus does not say that to you and I today, because the Bible says there's no condemnation for those in Christ. That we are forgiven. That we're not ashamed. That we're not guilty. We're not woe. We're not condemned. But to one, he says, woe to you, Judas. You shouldn't have been born. How about in Luke 22? Then Satan entered into Judas. Here's my conclusion with Judas. Over those 2-3 years of watching Jesus, maybe he believed that Jesus is the Messiah. Maybe he believed that Jesus was God in the flesh. He saw those miracles and he believed Jesus. But maybe he never had that faith in Jesus. You know, remember the devil also believed in Jesus, that he is the Son of God. But the devil doesn't believe or have faith in Jesus. I think there are some people, unfortunately, they don't have a genuine faith in Jesus. And if that's the case, unfortunately, they are not saved. And just because we go to church, just because we sing a few songs, just because we serve on a team, just because we give our money, just because we pray before we eat, it doesn't mean we have genuine faith. To have genuine faith is to totally trust Jesus. And when you do that, you are His and He holds you to the very end. For some people, maybe in this case like Judas, he did not have genuine faith and he was never saved in the first place. That's the reason why this message here is an encouragement but also a warning for some of us, that I want you to have a personal relationship with Jesus. I want you to really trust Him. Not because your parents trust Him, not because you go to church and you trust what God is doing here, but you trust Him personally. And when that happens, there's this wonderful assurance that you are kept safe to the very end. So where do I go from here? If you love Jesus with all your heart, listen carefully, Christians. If you have confidence that no one can snatch you out of His hand, nothing can separate you from the love of God, and that what God started in you will see it to completion, you've got to live that life. In fact, Paul would say this, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion unto the day of Christ Jesus. Be confident that when He saved you, He's going to carry you to the very, very end. Live that life. Let people know that you have that eternal security. Let people know that you belong to Him. Are you living that life? Live in a way where people go, wow, I am so envious of that person. You know, back in the 90s, in the mid-90s, I bought my first mobile phone. I want to show you it. It looks a bit like this here. Yeah, don't laugh. That was an Ericsson GA318. All right? And back in the mid-90s, for some of you might know this and you're laughing. Man, that phone cost me like a gazillion dollars. It was so expensive. And back in those days, you pay an arm and a leg for a phone and then you get on a contract, right, where there's no free calls. And every time you make a phone call, like for every 30 seconds, like $2. It was so expensive. Anyhow, I go and buy this phone at a very young age in my early 20s. Right, and I managed to get the phone, and it was in high demand, like selling hotcakes. And the guy said to me, hey, dude, by the way, the phone is not in the country, or not in the state. You've got to wait a week or two to get the phone. Do you still want it? And I'm like, yeah, I want it. So I signed the contract, and he gives me a free leather case, right? He gives you this free leather case, because in the 90s, it was really cool. Like in the 90s, you would actually have your huge phone in a leather case clipped by your waist. Who remembers that, by the way? It was so cool. Come on, you know, give me an amen here, right? And I reckon that's going to come back in fashion. No, don't laugh. I don't know where Ernest is. I don't know where Ernest is, but just watch Ernest. I reckon in a few months' time, Ernest is going to have one of those on his waist, right? That's what I reckon. I could be wrong, but I reckon it's come back to fashion. Okay, anyway, let's go back, right? So anyhow, I get this phone leather case, but the phone was coming in 2 weeks' time, 1 to 2 weeks' time. I didn't have it yet, but I knew it was coming. I had the case to prove it. Or let me say, I told all my family and friends about it. I made sure that everyone knew that in a week or 2 weeks' time, Ben is going to have this mobile phone. Because back in those days, it was unheard of to get a mobile phone. It was very, very rare. And I even had a leather case to prove to my friends that, hey, it's coming. And every now and then, just to show off, I'm going to put the leather case in my pocket and pull it out and it just drops it. Hey, look at that. That's a leather case. Guess what's coming? An Ericsson 3818, right? It's coming, right? And everyone was like, man, this is amazing. We can't wait to see your phone. It's so cool. And they were touching the leather case. You and I need to understand that our eternal security is ours. And we have to live with that in mind. That everyone can see the joy that we have in this security. That there's something different about us. That when they look at you, they go, wow, there's something different about you. There's such joy, there's such hope. We have to be people who don't get too caught up with what life is all about. Don't get caught up with life. Don't put all your treasures in this life. Be generous with your time. Spend a lot of time with your loved one. Love the people around you. Forgive those who hurt you. Show them the love of God. Introduce Jesus to them. Live in such a way where you are looking forward in spending eternity with Jesus, because that's your hope. Christians, you are to live like that. That's how I believe we ought to live the rest of our days. That's where we ought to go from here. If you know that He saved you, if you know that you are secured, that He's holding you and He's not letting you go, and at the end of the day, you are to spend time with Him in eternity future, live like that. Live so people see that in you. Don't live as if you're dead. Don't live counting all the money that you don't have. No. Live a life of joy. So that people go, yeah, there's something different about you. I want to know that. Where are you going again? I'm going home. Because this is not home. Heaven is home. And if you don't know Jesus, where do you go from here? You receive Jesus. You receive Jesus like the four people later on who will be baptized. These four people here, they're being baptized because a day, some day in the past, they welcomed Jesus into their world, and they know this morning that their eternity is kept safe with Him. You're not going to lose your salvation. It's yours forever. But the question is, what are you going to do with it? How are you going to live that out? See, for those who don't know Jesus, this is a call for you to meet Jesus. This is a call to say, I want Jesus. I want to have that security that at the end of the day, I will live with Him forevermore. I'm going to enjoy His presence forevermore. And Paul would say this in Ephesians 1. When you believed, when you placed your trust in Jesus, you were marked with Him with a seal. It's sealed. It's done deal. The promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance and to the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory. I didn't have my phone yet, but I had the leather case. I've already paid the deposit. I've signed the contract. It was coming. For some of you here, when you believe, the Holy Spirit is that deposit guaranteeing something that is to come, which is a future inheritance, which is eternity with Him, that you are kept safe. That's wonderful news, right? You cannot lose your salvation, Christians. It was never yours in the first place. You're not holding on to God. He's holding on to you. Why would He let you go? Nothing can separate you from His love. If you know that, why would you want to live a reckless life? You don't want to. You want to live a life of joy. You want to live a life telling people how good God is. You want to show them Jesus. And for those who are no longer here, don't judge them. You don't know. Maybe they've fallen out of fellowship, but they're still in relationship. There might be a day where they'll come back. Keep loving them. Keep praying for them. Keep believing in them. Don't Bible bash them. Pray for them. Encourage them. Because I believe that those whom God saves, He shall never let them go. He will keep them safe to the very end. That's my theology. I hope that's your theology as well. I hope that encourages you to keep living a life for His glory. Just because there's grace, it is not a license to sin. Amen. More grace means I want to live in a way that brings glory to Him. Amen. So may God encourage you, and may you meet Jesus if you don't know Jesus yet. If you want to know Jesus, if you want to say, Pastor, I want to be baptized the next time round. I really want Jesus in my life. Then you can come and see me afterwards. I want to pray with you and encourage you, and I want you to be on that journey. Amen? Cool. Let me pray. Father God, thank you so much for your word.